And I'm delighted to welcome you to our meeting this evening. I officially declare it open. For those that don't know, this is our special budget meeting. So this evening our role is to consider adopting the estimates of a proposed budget for the year 2020-21. And we'll be going through that again online as we have the last few meetings. We're expecting to be doing meetings again like this for our next general meeting, and then we're hoping to be starting to think about returning back to the council chambers. So my first role tonight is to remind everyone that we are recording this meeting. Not only is it being recorded on Facebook, but it's also recorded. An audio recording is made and made available on our website, so people can go and online and listen to that at any stage. Afterwards on our website. And the next role for me this evening is to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land which we meet, the Mulwinina people. I acknowledge the contemporary Tasmanian Aboriginal community who have survived invasion and dispossession and continue to maintain and fight for their identity, their culture and Indigenous rights. Attendees this evening is myself, Councillor Winter, Councillor Westwood, Councillor Bastone, Councillor Cordova, Councillor Fox, Councillor Midgley, Councillor Wass, Councillor Reet, and I am hoping Councillor Street has arrived. Yes, he has. And finally, unfortunately, Councillor Grace is not able to be with us tonight. From our staff, we have our General Manager, Gary Arnold, our Chief Financial Officer, John Breen, our Manager of Finance, Tim Jones, our Executive Manager of Governance and Community Services, Daniel Smee, our Communications and Engagement Advisor, Sarah Wilcox, and our Executive Assistant is Amanda Morton. I don't believe I've missed anyone. Okay. Declarations of interest. Would any councillor like to raise a declaration of interest? No, that being the case, we'll move on. This is a special meeting of council, so unlike the normal general meetings where we'd have questions without notice, we move straight on to our agenda item. And that, of course, is the operational and capital budgets rate resolution, and there's a recommendation there in the agenda, and I can't recall the page number, but I'm sure you can find it. Would anyone like to move the recommended motion?
I'd like to move that, Mayor.
Seconded.
Councillor Westwood, seconded by Councillor, I think it was Councillor Street. Great. Thank you. Councillor Westwood.
Thank you. As you've outlined tonight, we're here to pass Council's budget for the next financial year. It is quite an improvement on the almost $4 billion underlying deficit from our draft budget position. It's now at a $2.4 million deficit, which still is not great, but there's been a lot of hard work going into preparing this budget over the last few months, and I think the improvement in that position reflects that hard work. There has been a cap on our rates to help our residents through these unprecedented times. That's in line with the policy of the state government, and Kingborough has done that. We have been faced with an unprecedented crisis. It has impacted our revenue in terms of our user fees, in terms of the Kingborough Sports Centre, and in terms of our rates revenue through that rates relief that we're providing. In addition to that, we have approved a hardship policy to help households and businesses through these times. And we've also targeted our grants program to help community organisations help others in our community, which is really, really important work, but has of course impacted the overall budget position. We have maintained our capital expenditure. $11 million next year is forecast in capital expenditure. This was a decision of council to maintain that expenditure in our local economy to help support jobs, to do our bit in trying to stimulate the economy and help support people through this difficult time. So I'm pleased that there's a very extensive capital works program. There's a lot of great projects which are on the cards for next year, and also some really great projects over the next couple of years as well. Our long-term financial plan has a general rate increase of 2.8%. As I've outlined, this will not be passed on to residents. We will index the general rate by that 2.8%, but residents will see on their rates notice a rebate of that that increase. I guess the other thing to point out is that we do have a much awaited green waste collection service starting sometime in early October, and that has added to those residents who were able and willing to opt in for that service. That's added at a $64 fee to the rates bills of those particular residents, but feedback I have had is that people are very happy to pay an increase at a cost recovery fee for that service so that they can have a fortnightly green waste collection service. Our recycling collection is also a cost recovery service, and there has been a small increase per annum for that as well to reflect the cost in that service. I'm really pleased that Council has taken on board the efficiency dividend that was endorsed by Council a couple of meetings ago. It asked Council to find 2.8% in operational savings, which equates to nearly $380,000. So it's no small ask. I am very aware of that. But as other businesses are doing at this point in time, it is important for Council to have a look at how we're doing things and to make sure we're doing them most efficiently and that we're spending ratepayer dollars in the best way possible. I'm assuming, Mayor, that I don't have to read through the whole of the recommendation with the 20 different sections. Is that correct?
No one will be doing that tonight.
Okay, thank you. So on that note, look, I think it is a good budget for the times. It's obviously not ideal. It's disappointing that we were headed for our first budget surplus, but we've now ended up with such a large deficit. But certainly a lot of hard work over the last couple of months has minimised that as much as possible. So I ask my colleagues to support the budget that we have in front of us tonight.
Councillor Cordova.
Thank you so much. Just some questions. I'm not going to give my contribution yet. My first question is about the loans that Kingborough Council has taken on. We've taken on a number of loans that have an interest-free component. My question is, was it possible to take on a larger loan than we did? And further to that, what will be the rate of interest we'll be paying when the interest-free period expires?
Mr. Breen. Mr. Breen or Mr. Arnold.
Are you there?
Yes, we can hear you.
They got me, Mr. okay, Breen. Sorry. Essentially, we were in a position to be able to get some interest-free loans through the State Government Loan Program. So we achieved a bit over $12 million in regards to those interest-free loans. That was our proportion of the $150 million that the state government was putting out. It certainly has allowed us over the three-year period to run a fairly reasonable level of cash reserves within the council. So on that basis, for the three-year period, we are very comfortable in regards to the amount of cash that we've got. Obviously, the key thing then is at the end of the three-year period, is to be in a position to be able to repay as much of that debt as possible. And that's what we'll be seeking to do. Hopefully repay something like about $10 million worth of that debt at that point in time. In regards to interest rates, it's very difficult to predict what the rates will be in 3 years' time. But certainly at the moment, we're getting rates around the 1.5% level. So historically very low rates at the moment. If they stay that way, then The debt will be very cheap at that point in time, but I guess at some point in the future you would expect rates to start increasing and you'd have to pay more at that time.
Thank you. Through you, Mayor, a second question. If Council didn't pass the efficiency dividend of $380,000, which I recognise it has, but if it didn't, would the Council have been insolvent or would it have been at risk of becoming insolvent?
No.
Thank you, Mayor. My next question is that on the OurSay platform during the budget deliberations, we collected this year one question and three comments. By comparison, the OurSay forum received 10 ideas, 21 votes and five comments last year. So my question is, why do you suppose there was much less community engagement this year and how do you propose to improve community engagement next time?
Ms. Wilcox, are you able to answer that question?
I'll do my best through you, Mayor. Thank you. I think that the issue with the engagement this year was it wasn't actually an engagement. I guess there was no real negotiating power within the budget. So an engagement has to, you know, by a policy and framework, honour the IAP2 standards and be honest about what we're asking, whether we're informing, consulting, involving, empowering, collaborating. So I think that this year people understood very the realistic and drastic impacts that the COVID-19 pandemic has had at the council and on all businesses. So I think that that's probably why there was less engagement or less contribution and questions around it this year.
Thank you so much for that. And my other question about the process is there were 7 submissions by my account from community members and organisations this year. How does that compare to the number of formal submissions we received last year? Does anyone know?
Ms. Wilcox.
Yes, through you, Mayor. I believe there were 14 submissions last year.
Okay, so it's down again. No worries. Thank you so much. My question now is about on page 33 of our agenda in the engineering section. It says that there's been a $20,000 reduction in expenditure on footpath condition assessment. My question is why?
I know Mr. Reeves not here, so Mr. Breen or Mr. Arnold?
Through you, Mayor. Essentially, the $60,000 in this financial year that we're in right at the moment was in regards to the road condition assessment. So they've expended that this year, which was to get a condition assessment of our roads. Our next financial year, that's moving to do all the footpaths within the municipality and therefore a lesser cost of $40,000.
Thank you so much. Through you, Mayor, on page 36 now, I'm looking at recreation and reserves. There's been a significant reduction in irrigation systems installation and maintenance. Similarly, a big reduction, $18,700 gone from KWS maintenance. I'm wondering if anyone can speak to those reductions.
I'm going to go with whichever council officer would like to answer that.
Through you, Mayor, I'll attempt to answer that one. And essentially with these ones that are activity-based expenditure, the manager at the start of the when he's preparing the budget will have a look at the the total amount that's available and tend to divide it up amongst the various activities that they're going to undertake over a 12-month period. And sometimes they may have an emphasis on one particular activity as opposed to others. So they tend to balance that out. So my assumption there would be that for some reason, perhaps they spent more this year. And next year they need to spend less in that particular area. So it's really just for them, it's about saying, look, I've got a total budget here. I'll allocate it to the best for the best need of the community, and therefore they come up with this level of expenditure.
Thank you. I'm up to my final few questions. Thank you for your indulgence, Mayor. Playground inspections. Looking at playground inspections on page. I've lost what page it is, but there's been a $24,000 reduction in playground inspection expenditure. And I think in that final column, there could be a $250 misplaced. Can anybody speak to the playground inspections reduction?
Mr. Breen.
Through you, Mayor. The specifics of that, I don't know. I know that this year was the first year that they've really put a lot of effort into playground inspections. It's the first time, and I think they went out and did a specific audit of the playgrounds just to make sure that they knew exactly where there were issues that they needed to deal with. So my assumption would be that this year, with being able to scale back the amount of work because they've done that audit and they've got the information, and now they're just carrying out the work that needs to, you know, to the normal inspections that they need to do.
Thank you. On transport, on page 39, there have been nearly $40,000 in reduction of expenditure on, firstly, asphalt corrections, and secondly, table drain maintenance. So I'm looking at page 39, wondering if we could explain those, and will there be any diminution in, I guess, the provision of roads and drains because of that reduction?
Mr. Rain.
Yes, through you, Mayor. Similar to our record reserves, once again, transport's an activity-based budget, and they'll tend to direct funds in the areas that they see as the greatest need. And the assumption would be there that they see necessarily less need over the next 12 months and therefore have adjusted the budgets accordingly.
Thank you. My final question, Mayor. The Regional Climate Change Initiative, the RICI Action Plan, has had $7,000 taken from it. That can be seen on page 28. My question is, why is this happening? Why is money being taken from the RICI Action Plan despite the latest flood studies showing the need for vigilance and increased investment in climate-related initiatives?
Mr. Breen or Mr. Arnold?
Yes, through you, Mayor. Essentially with these ones, these are all project-based activities. So the manager would have had a look at the activities they want to undertake over the next 12 months, and accordingly has put forward a budget of $10,000. So the assumption would be that's all they feel they need to spend to carry out a certain activity over that budget period.
Thank you, Mayor. That's all for me.
Thank you. Mr. Arnold's got his hand up. Mr. Arnold, did you have something to add?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Just to add to Mr. Breen's answer regarding the Regional Climate Change Initiative, Mr. Doyle has advised me today that that has been ongoing now for some years and in many respects is arguably winding down.
Thank you. So, Councillor Bastone has a question or questions. Councillor Bastone.
Thank you, Mayor. On page 41 in the waste management section, in the litter collection public place bins Mainland and litter collection public place bins Bruni, I believe they've been separated this year, whereas before it was under all under one, but it's gone up 70,000. I'm just wondering the reason for this.
Mr. Breen.
Yes, through you, Mayor. I think that's a reflection of the actual costs in regards to the contracts that we have here. So I think there's been a sizable increase in the costs and therefore it's reflected in the budget, and we've decided to split it into the two areas just so it's clear what the actual costs are.
But they are substantially more than last year.
Correct, yes. We're seeing a lot of additional costs, particularly in this waste management area in regards to disposal of the litter and the various waste elements.
Thank you. And another question regarding waste management. We had a business that was starting up at Beretta, and I would have thought would have been going into operation in the forthcoming year. I'm just wondering why there is nothing about that in the budget.
Mr. Breen.
Through you, Mayor. I might have to take that question on notice.
I can't remember, you see, whether it was we did it all in closed session. That's why I'm not actually saying what it is. Something was being built there.
Oh, I see. I think I know what you're talking about. Yes, it was in closed session.
That's what I thought. Yeah, and there is nothing here at all. And that should have been bringing in substantial amount of money.
I might have to take that one offline, but to double check that we're not missing some revenue, because if we are expecting some, it'd be good to include it. Mr. Brain, are you happy to take that on notice, perhaps?
Yeah, I'll take that on notice.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I, my final question is the costs for legal fees is quite substantial this year. It's a total through all departments of $123,500. That seems a fairly large amount to put out as retainers. Is this normal?
Mr. Breen.
Through you, Mayor. Yes, certainly there's been no substantial increase in the amount of dollars that's been put into legal costs. And in fact, I think it's been slightly reduced back because the last 2 years we've had the charitable homes exemption issues, which we've had to have substantial legal costs associated with that particular activity. The one area that we do get quite a lot of costs associated with legal is obviously in the planning area, and sometimes you have very little control over the amount that you need to spend in that area.
Okay, thank you. That's all for the time being. Thank you.
Okay, I currently have no one indicating they want to speak, which isn't very helpful. Who would like to speak next?
I can speak.
Councillor Cordova, thank you for saving me. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you very much, Mayor. This is my substantial contribution. Firstly, I would like to thank the staff very much who helped progress this year's budget deliberations under exceptional circumstances against the backdrop of a once-in-a-hundred-year pandemic. Without relitigating the points that I made in the workshop, I would like to stress that I think that we can improve our community engagement and strive towards genuine participatory budgeting. We need to improve our efforts of engagement with the community consultative forum, and I suggest that next year we hold a series of face-to-face workshops so that we can offer some actual choices and options between budget priorities. We need to hear from individuals as well as community organisations, and by having options and choices to select from, it may be much easier for time-poor members of the community to have their say without having to pore over hundreds of pages of figures like the councillors have to. Now to my main points, which speaks to our budget priorities in line with the long-term financial plan and also our strategic plan. It speaks to our priorities about putting the community at the heart of everything we do, and to make Kingborough a great place to live by delivering on our organisation's values of accountability, respect, excellence and inclusiveness. This council is fiscally prudent, judicious and careful. There is no obvious fat to cut. The council runs lean. In a time of difficulty like now, the council would be better placed to improve the lives of residents through increased service provision, not decreasing it when people need the help the most. I have full confidence in our council's ability to cut costs. I have less confidence in our ability to improve services, improve our assets, properly fund the replacement of equipment, and provide staff with the support they need to do their jobs well. I know of no community member who drives over a pothole in our municipality and says, well, that's good. That means that our council's saving money. No resident I've spoken to goes to a playground with their kids, and when they see the swing set is broken and the chain is rusty, they say, well, that's lucky. That means our council is saving money. No Kingborough family I know goes to the beach, and when they see that the toilets are closed or filthy, they say, well, gosh golly, aren't our councillors doing a good job as responsible fiscal management? They're keeping up the good work, saving money on our council by losing services. And when a hardworking Kingborough family saves up enough money for a renovation, they don't want to lose time in the building permit process because the council doesn't have adequate planning resources in place to help them get the resources, get the job done properly when they need it. That benefits no one. And yet, despite these obvious facts, our council this time has gone down the path of austerity. Even though we know that when you do austerity, it is usually the people who can afford it the least who end up paying the most. Because it is right now that people need extra support, extra community programs, extra help. Despite the lowest interest rates in human history, despite the unprecedented ability to get interest-free loans and grants from state and federal government, despite the desperate need in the community to provide fiscal expansion and to act counter-cyclically to mitigate the economic recession, this council has instead gone for the cuts. In our budget deliberations so far, every councillor has been trying to scrimp and save, going down the line of the budget, line item by line item, to see what penny they can pinch. But it was only me that identified over $92,000 of savings that had already taken place from specific line items before the efficiency dividend of $380,000. An efficiency dividend is a cut, and I voted against this cut because it will make matters worse, not better. This council is great at saving money, but it's not so good at maintaining and improving services. In the long run, the only way to increase revenue for the council is to encourage people to stay in Kingborough because of how nice a place it is to live. And by cutting costs and never improving services, this council is cutting off its nose to spite its face. We all believe in responsible fiscal management. We all believe in sound finance. This council has come out of the COVID crisis better than most. But now that we have cut, we must commit next time to spending more. Because every penny spent by this council is a penny spent on our community who pay into the kitty collectively in order to receive the benefit. Every penny the council saves is a penny not spent on our community. So for now, we are taking away from the community with these budget cuts and with this efficiency dividend. But next time, we need to give back. Thank you, Mayor.
Thanks, Councillor Cordova. At the moment, I'm stuck again. I don't have any speakers.
I'll speak, Mayor. Councillor
Mitchell. Yes, thanks, Councillor Mitchell. Okay.
Thank you. I'm not sure why we don't have many speakers. So, as we all know, and we might have to count how many times we say unprecedented tonight, but we are deciding this budget in an unprecedented time in history. Prior to COVID-19, I had been in contact with many members of the community who expressed interest in the council's commitment to the climate emergency and sought that council provided extra resources and funds in the 2021 budget to fulfil the commitment to the council's climate emergency. Just wanted to acknowledge the organiser of the petition that was sent to us prior to COVID-19 for the work and consultation with the community in regards to the climate space in request to the outlining in that petition in regards to increasing of rates and things like that. However, as we know that we are in times, we have many members in our community who have been hit hard. Some are on the verge or have faced bankruptcy during this time, and is not something I've pushed for extra resources during this time and this budget period. We are all doing our bit. Council staff and officers have all been doing their bit. There is not much fat to cut. We've sat around many times during our workshops, and there is not really that much. We can go line by line, which is, I don't know if that's a usual practice that councillors do across Tasmania, if they go line by line looking at the items. But I am actually happy to hear at the workshop last week that there is some flexibility with the efficiency dividend. I was actually concerned at the workshop last week that we might have a whole list of projects that were deep and meaningful to the community that would be lost. But I guess it's something that we'll wait and see what happens over time and what council staff can actually come up with. It is unfortunate we cannot have more services in the IT, that our arts programs couldn't have a bit more juice in them and some more projects. I'm sure that many staff across council are just working to that edge, and that there is many more things that they would like to see, but that has not happened. There are so many great projects that we can now see on our listing here, and the community can also note in the agenda. And there are so many to list. I mean, the Lightwood Park female change rooms are very much needed facility that we know was campaigned very heavily during the federal budget campaign, the federal election campaign, and also the training lights at this facility. This is just to name a few. And as a councillor, we did have a motion forward about our wage rise, and I am happy not to accept a wage rise in this 2021 budget. But I just note, Mayor, that this actually has not been noted in the budget, and I'm just wondering what the process is for this when we as we pass that motion.
Well, so the motion that we passed didn't stop councillors from getting an increase. They did two things. It asked council to lobby the state government so that they didn't pass on an increase, but second directed council staff to provide councillors with the information they need so that they cannot accept one if they choose next financial year. It doesn't come in until I think a few sort of the back half of this calendar year. So I think it would be difficult for the chief financial officer to accurately to assume that councillors are going to choose to not accept an increase. At the moment, the legislation allows for a wage price increase. So I would have thought it's probably prudent for the chief financial officer to take a conservative approach and to have that small increase for councillors allowed. But as we've discussed, I hope and I think it sounds like most councillors are not going to be accepting an increase. So that'll be a saving that we'll take up next financial year if that's the case.
Thank you for that clarification, Mayor. I just had a couple more questions as well, just in regards to the Conyngham and Snug feasibility study, and also a note the Kingston to Margate feasibility study. They're not in the listing for this financial year, but are in the listing for the following financial year. I understand there is a lot of interest in the community regarding these projects, and I'm wondering why they aren't in this financial year's budget.
Mr. Breen or Mr. Arnold?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. In relation to the Conyngham Snug pathway, the intention is that some preliminary work will be undertaken in-house next financial year prior to seeking a more detailed feasibility study. And the same applies to the Margate to Kingston proposal.
Thank you, Mr. Arnold. I also note in regards to just general cycling projects, there are none in this budget, but there are commitments in the other years. I'm just wondering why there wasn't any in this year's budget.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Again, in relation to the proposed bicycle study that has been through our Bicycle Advisory Committee, councillors will recall that the intention is that this will be funded at least in part with funds from the Kingston congestion funding monies as part of the Hobart City deal. I'm also reminded that one of the items identified by our Bicycle Advisory Committee was a possible cycle path along Roslyn Avenue. And my understanding from Mr. Reeve is that council officers will undertake some more investigations internally next year.
Thank you. Another question regarding the Kingborough Consultative Forum. I understand, I think it was at the February time of the meeting, council did seek submissions regarding the budget from the many members of the Consultative Forum. And I note that some of the progress associations and community associations actually did go out to the community members to ask for ideas and input or thoughts or projects, you know, for the budget. I note that councillors were actually sent a list of these submissions, but I'm just not actually sure of kind of the closing the loop or an understanding of the input of how they're actually fed into the budget. And I'm wondering is what is the feedback process in regards to those submissions from the Community Consultative Forum groups?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Midgley, my colleagues, Mr. Ferrier and Mr. Reeve, particularly are currently working on a response to the Consultative Forum. But what I can tell councillors is that many of those items that were raised were probably best described as minor capital projects. Council officers have been able to accommodate some of those requests already in this financial year. The draft budget, I understand, does include a couple of those requests. But a comprehensive report will be put to both the consultative forum and, of course, made available to all councillors.
Thank you very much. That's fantastic to hear. And just a final question, Mayor. I note that today we received an email from the Blackmans Bay Community Association stating that their input had not been summarised in the agenda for tonight's meeting. I note that the Mayor's response to that was it was a high quality submission. And I also note that during our councillor workshop, we also did receive the email and we did receive a summary in regards to that. I'm wondering if Mayor or staff would like to comment on the Blackmans Bay Community Association input.
Look, I will first, and then I'll ask Mr. Breen or Mr. Arnold if they'd like to ask. And adding, it was a very high quality submission, and you're right, it was, I believe, it was actually sent to all councillors by the association itself first, and then Mr. Breen emailed it to everyone last Tuesday, I believe it was, to all councillors as well. So each councillor received it twice. Then we discussed it on Wednesday night at our workshop. So three separate opportunities for councillors to consume the contents of it. It was a very high quality submission. I would say it's probably the best one we've seen in the 3 years we've been doing it. And so it has been considered. I did see the email. I haven't gone to the, I haven't had time to go to the summary in the agenda and then compare it with the submission. But I think what's important is that everyone's had the opportunity to read it and consume it. If it was incorrectly summarised, I'm sure that we'll make best endeavours to resolve it as best we can. Mr. Breen, did you have a comment to make?
Yes, through you, Mayor. I guess in the end we had a whole heap of information with a very short time frame in regards to providing information to council. There was a number of other submissions who generally make commentary on the financials in particular, and I guess that was my interpretation of the general comments that were being made in regards to particularly the operational budget and a couple of general comments on a couple of capital projects. So essentially what provided the submissions and my interpretation was that you were getting the information and what I was looking to do was to summarise the questions that were being asked and then getting council officers to respond to those. So that certainly wasn't my intention to not address the issues that were noted, but it was really more just being provided for information to councillors.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Mr. Breen. So I will support the budget. It is what we have and what we really need for this time. I am grateful that we as councillors have had time to have input. We've had a couple of workshops. We've been able to ask questions. And I'd also like to thank Councillor Cordova for going over and clarifying a few of the other items that have been listed in the budget to allow for some more questioning, and I guess for the community to know that that's actually when we have our workshop forum, that's the place where as councillors we also get to ask a whole variety of questions in regards to similar to what Councillor Cordova asked. I'd like to say a big thank you for staff for always being available and responding quickly to councillors' questions and responses and providing very detailed information to our emails or conversations over the phone. And thanks again, even though it was limited, as Councillor Cordova said, in regards to submissions online, and as Ms. Wilcox explained the reasoning why, I do thank all those people that put in very thorough questions in regards to the budget. And it's great to know that we have people out there in the community who do care and have a look at the work that Council does and has an interest. So thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Next, I now have a bunch of people wanting to speak, which is great. Councillor Fox.
Thank you, Mayor. I wanted to point out, I thoroughly support the speech that Councillor Cordova made. I thought he put the position that I supported very well. Council has got a very lean budget, and that was before the efficiency drive was included, but I don't see the efficiency dividend as something that has to be taken out of existing services. I see that as something that should look at deferring costs and finding savings by deferring projects which can be delayed for 12 months. And I'm hoping that the staff will be able to achieve the efficiency through doing that. I also support the comment that we need to recoup the reduction in rates at the next budget, because it's important that we can maintain our infrastructure and our services that our community relies on, or we'll end up paying paying more and more in future generations and future budgets. And it's an important difference between being efficient now because of the coronavirus, but not maintaining this severe penalty on the council's production of projects and infrastructure and services that is really up to our council. Nobody else is going to pay for those things, and ultimately it's our responsibility to maintain the level of services and infrastructure that we need to make this a healthy community, both in terms of sewerage and stormwater particularly, but also playgrounds, parks, recreational facilities, and so many social amenities that our community has enjoyed, especially in the arts and culture. But I do support the current budget, and I appreciate the work that's gone into it. And I think it shows that the community and council and staff particularly can work well together to achieve this outcome. Thank you.
Thank you. We now have Councillor Street.
Thank you, Mayor. This is not a budget that fills me with great joy. I'm not over the moon with delivering the proposed deficit, and I'm equally not rejoicing that we have to tighten our belt to the extent that will be necessary in this financial year. But this budget is a product of its times. I think any person, councillor or otherwise, who tries to convince you otherwise is misguided at best and delusional at worst. Our community is going through the hardest time economically and socially, I think, that many of our ratepayers have seen in living memory. We can't rate our way out of the situation. Our ratepayers have demanded relief at a time when a lot of them simply cannot afford to pay more. And even the ones that could afford to pay more, there is an argument that they simply shouldn't be paying more in this financial year. We can't borrow our way to prosperity either. Council's relatively strong financial position has meant that we have been able to take advantage of the state government's no interest loan program, but as we've heard, we have taken that facility to its limit. And we've probably borrowed more than what we actually needed if we were honest about the matter. But that has given us some breathing room, which is sorely needed. It makes for a wonderful speech and a better story. And I'm looking at you, Councillor Cordova, to suggest that we should have borrowed more or rated higher this year. At least I think that's what you're suggesting, because you've spent a whole lot of time talking about how we should be increasing programs and spending this year, and not a whole lot of time talking about how you would propose to pay for that. So I can only assume that if you're arguing that we should be doing more and spending more this year, that you either think we should have borrowed more or we should have rated higher. And it makes for a great soundbite, and the cute analogies are fantastic and they sound fantastic, but it doesn't tell you a whole lot about what the consequences would have been for people this year if we had continued on with business as usual. You know, I can have cute analogies too. If we had taken a different path and continued with business as usual, then a family struggling in this time because of the effects of the COVID crisis would have paid higher rates this year. And I can't imagine that they would have thought, gee, I'm glad that my rates are higher this year so that council didn't need to make any tough decisions. And if your proposal is that we should have borrowed our way out of the situation, then I can hardly think that in 10 or 20 years' time, a ratepayer is going to be sitting there thinking, gee, I'm glad that council didn't make any tough decisions in 2020, because I'm so glad that they can't borrow to fund the multi-million dollar intersection that we need at the minute, or the sporting facility upgrade that we need at the minute. Gee, I'm glad that they squibbed the decision in 2020 and went and borrowed lots more money. This budget is a long way from austerity on any measure, but it is lean. I accept that. And it does demand a lot of our staff. I accept that as well. But I don't make any apologies for that. And our ratepayers, I think, expect that of us this year. And for councillors, and this is a responsibility that I feel personally quite acutely, we have a massive responsibility this year with respect to monitoring council's finances, perhaps more than ever, because of what we're asking of staff and because of what we've promised to the community, which is that we will do our best to make sure that over the next financial year, our core services aren't affected. So personally, I take that responsibility very, very seriously, and will be doing more than I have done before to ensure that our finances are properly monitored and going into finer detail than perhaps reasonably a councillor should have to. But I accept that that is my responsibility for voting on a budget like this. Mayor, as I started, this is a responsible budget, but it's not a budget to be delighted in. I hope that our ratepayers will see what we have tried to do with this budget, tried to continue our core services, but also share some of the pain that is occurring at the minute with our ratepayers and ensure that looking forward, we're in the best possible position to continue the work of council and continue to help build our municipality.
Thanks, Councillor Street. Next, I have Councillor Reet. We're hoping your audio is working, Councillor Reet.
Thank you.
Oh, yes, we've got you.
Yes. Yay. Thank you. Look, as others have said, we are very much in, I won't say unprecedented times, I'll say uncharted waters. I really don't think that last year we could have predicted what 2020 would hold. It's been a very difficult time for both individuals and for businesses. And I think the ramifications, as we've already talked about tonight, are going to be felt for many, many years to come within our community, within the wider economy, and right around the world. Just reiterating what the Deputy Mayor mentioned in her contribution, prior to March, Council was looking at having a 2.8% rate increase in line with our long-term financial plan. And in light of what then unfolded with COVID-19, that was then overturned, and we made the decision to forego a significant amount of income in terms of any rate rise, so that we had a 0% rate rise, as well as putting in hardship provisions. I think what is also very, very difficult for us to deal with and why we've got an income problem is the fact that we have also lost $1.2 million in Tazwater dividends. And that is a huge blow to Council's budget on top of not having a rate increase. And of course, it does mean that we have to make some difficult decisions. As other councillors have mentioned, we've still got many highlights in this budget. We've still got $13 million of capital works programs, which will do a great thing in terms of stimulating the economy with contractors and business people and so on, as well as improving our assets in the community. So don't think that when you hear the words efficiency dividends, that we are going to be causing things not to be built or potholes not to be filled. I get very, cross when I hear scaremongering, as I would suggest it. And I'm afraid that in Councillor Cordova's contribution tonight, I think he was heading towards scaremongering of saying that we will have broken swings and we will have ratepayers driving over roads that have extra potholes in them because of the tough decision that we made to have an efficiency dividend. That is not simply not true. And I voted in favour of the efficiency dividend. In fact, I had been saying it ever since I came onto council in 2011, because I know that in any organisation, particularly one that is the size of Kingborough Council, it is possible for us to make efficiencies without impacting on general service delivery. I have been in state government, I've implemented those sorts of things, and it was done so without people realising that, you know, we have to tighten our belts. And we have to actually, along with everyone else, share a bit of the pain that the community is feeling. And so it's only reasonable that we have the efficiency dividend and that we have left it. And this is a very important point that ratepayers need to understand. We have left where that funding will come from and those efficiencies will come from with the council staff, and we trust in them that they will make the appropriate decisions. And I do hope it isn't some of the low-hanging fruit like community development and the arts, because I think they have great value in the community, and I'd be very upset if that was the case. But there are always ways to cut fat, and the efficiency dividend is what's necessary in these times. I wanted to touch just very briefly before I finish, just on the concept of the community engagement with this. As we've already talked about, we're in very difficult times, and I think that it's always hard to get people to engage in something as dry as formulating a budget. Not even state government manages to do it with individuals. They don't generally respond to the wide-ranging community consultation that state government and Treasury put out every year. It is dry. It is dull. People don't see it, perhaps, maybe, as directly relevant to them. The key stakeholders respond. The interest groups who have particular things that they would like to see enacted in budgets. And that's what we see with this. And I think our communications and engagement advisor does put out to as many people as possible through a lot of mediums that people can engage with us and tell us what they think. But it's a dry topic, let's be honest. It's not for everyone. And we can't force people to respond. I think this year in particular, people have been thinking about the pandemic, and it's been a little bit of a step too far to perhaps ask them to engage in this way at this time. So hopefully in future years we will see more. But like I said, I think we do go to a great deal of effort already to ensure that people are engaging with us. So I thank the people who have put submissions in. I can assure them that we did go through them pretty much line by line last week, just as we've done in many workshops about the budget. So thank you, and I am happy to endorse the budget as printed.
Thanks, Councillor Reet. I have no one else at the moment. Okay, you're getting very dangerously close to not being able to speak. Okay, I'll take that as no one else wanting to speak. For my contribution, councillors in particular will know that the idea of a rate cap has been something that I've frustrated my colleagues with, because I've been, on the one hand, I think it's a good thing to do, and I've always wanted to keep rates as low as possible. But on the other hand, it's a blunt instrument approach to the issue, and I've felt like it's reduced our ability to support those who need it most. But it's never a bad thing to put more money in the pockets of our ratepayers, and that's how I let myself sleep at night. And I hope that we've now got a budget where we can still provide the services people need. I think that from where we were 6 weeks ago, when I was really worried, frankly, about the local economy and where it was going, I had builders telling me they were about to lay people off and real estate agents telling me they hadn't had any listings in a month. I was really, really frightened. But what I've seen over the last few weeks has been a really strong change in sentiment, a really positive one, and that's led me to believe that I think we're on the right track, and I'm really much more comfortable with how we're going economically. But that being said, that doesn't help our budget, and not only is the rate cap not help our budget, but the Tazwater dividend loss is extraordinary, and I think the warnings that Mr. Arnold and Mayor Woss, when he was mayor, me since have joined with that, two other owner councils about Tazwater situation have now been proven to be correct, because the decisions that have been made have left us in a situation where Tazwater now won't increase its prices for, I think, the second or third consecutive year. And frankly, they charge less than any other jurisdiction in Tasmania, and they're now running not able to pay dividends, going to run a very large loss, and I'm concerned don't have the money to maintain their assets properly. So that's a concern, and I think for council, Tazewater not delivering dividends in the long term is likely now to be a reality, and we're going to need to deal with that through our long-term financial plan, and that'll be the next challenge as a group of councillors. What I did note, though, in the budget tonight is that we're still delivering the highest capital expenditure in Kingborough's history, over $13 million as previously mentioned, and that is something that we should be proud of, and we should tell everyone that this is what we do, because instead of going into our shells and reducing capital expenditure, as some councillors might make out we're doing, we're actually spending more than ever, and I think we should be proud of that. I think the contractors that are obviously wanting to ensure there's a pipeline of work will be pleased, and it's also in line with what the Premier has asked us to do, which is to get out there and continue to spend. And that leads me to Councillor Cordova's contribution tonight, and I was disappointed, to say the least, that he would make that contribution, because his contribution said that we were decreasing services. It said that we'd be saving money on potholes, not delivering them. He said that we might not be maintaining playgrounds up to standard, and that toilets might not be maintained. Of course, we're spending more on all of those areas, which is quite extraordinary given what we were told earlier. He also called it a austerity budget. Now, the definition of austerity I managed to bring up in front of me as he was speaking. And the definition of austerity is a set of political economic policies that aim to reduce government budget deficits through spending cuts or tax increases, or a combination of both. Now, this budget has both, does not increase taxes, it's got a 0% rate rise, and it actually spends more than the previous year. In fact, it spends $800,000 more than the forecast from last year. It's not an austerity budget, according to the definition of what austerity budgets are. So I was disappointed with that contribution, because we've all had the ability to have input into this budget, and I think Councillor Cordova is right when he says that he made a lot of points, but at no point has this been an austerity budget. Finally, what concerns me almost more than anything is the idea that that consultation should come from council only, that it should come from council staff, because really that's an abdication of your responsibility as a councillor. This is a representative democracy, which means that we're representing a bunch of people who voted for us, and not just people who voted for us, everyone. And so it's our job as councillors to get out there and talk to people, hear what their views are, listen and understand. I don't need our staff to be out there doing the consultation for me, because I'm out there talking to people. If you don't know what your community thinks, then you shouldn't be here. Yes, our staff should do and do a great job of consultation, but don't let that mean that that should be exclusive their job. It's our job as elected members to understand what our community want, and we do all do the best we can. We interpret those conversations differently. We speak to different people, understand, but I think it's important we all do that job as a priority. To sum up the debate tonight, Councillor Westwood.
Thank you, Mayor. As we've heard, this budget has been put together in unprecedented times. I can't really think of another word for it at the moment, so add that to your tally, Councillor Midgley. Look, it's not ideal. We are in very difficult circumstances, and some of the decisions we've made, we would have preferred not to have made. But our jobs as leaders in our community and acting in the best interests of the community is sometimes to make decisions that are hard, and potentially they won't be popular. But I think this budget provides a really good balance between helping our householders and helping businesses through rates relief and through our grants program and through various other measures that council officers have been undertaking over the past little while. All of the things like the Kind Acts and the photographic competitions and the art prizes, you know, they've all contributed in some way to bringing our community together. So the budget helps with that. We're trying to ease the financial burden on households and businesses in what is an unprecedented time. But in doing that, we did prioritise a very large capital expenditure program. We have not cut the capital expenditure program. Our council workers will be out there. We will be employing local contractors. And we will be doing our part as the third tier of government, the best we can to try and support and stimulate our economy here in Kingborough. And I think that that can't be understated. That is really, really important. It is not an act of austerity, this budget. It is a very carefully crafted document. It has had a lot of time and effort gone into it. Potentially, not all councillors understand the amount of work that goes into making a budget like this and putting it together. It is the result of a lot of hard work. It is a result of two budget workshops. We have had three different versions of the budget. It is a significant improvement from the budget that went out for public consultation. And look, we've done the best we can in these times to put together a budget that helps our community and does the best it can to support our community through this time. So I urge my colleagues to support the budget, and I thank staff for the hard work they've done in putting it together.
Okay, thanks, councillors. That draws the debate to a close. The motion is, as we said, printed, and it's very, very extensive. It's actually got 20 points to it. So I'm just going to say the motion as printed in the agenda. There haven't been any amendments to it. It was moved by Councillor Westwood and seconded by Councillor Street. And if you unmute yourselves, councillors, I'll run through the list of councillors and ask you to say yes if you agree with the motion as printed and moved by Councillor Westwood, seconded by Councillor Street, or no if you disagree. Start with Councillor Westwood.
Yes.
Councillor Bastone.
Yes.
Councillor Cordova.
Yes.
Councillor Fox.
Yes.
Councillor Midgley.
Yes.
Councillor Street.
Yes.
Councillor Wass.
Yes.
Councillor Reet.
Yes.
Councillor Winter is also a yes. The motion is carried unanimously. The next item on the agenda this evening is closure. There being no further business, I declare the meeting closed at 6:32 p.m. I'd like to thank all of our Facebook viewers for watching, and you'll see